Hey guys, welcome to this week's episode of the Fifth Quarter Podcast. We finally have a name. This week was, I'd probably say it was slow with news. There wasn't much, but there were some big topics after this week. I'll start it off with Earl Thomas's injury. Earl Thomas on Sunday got injured, and he broke his leg against the Cardinals. It's not a significant injury in the sense, and football-wise, like, the Seahawks defense wasn't that great. But I think that it plays into the bigger argument of Le'Veon Bell and his fight with the Steelers of trying to get a bigger contract. Earl Thomas also this season had been holding out over his contract, wanted to get a contract extension or get traded. And now he's injured and he's going to lose money after this injury because nobody's going to want to, you know, pay too much for a player who's coming off an injury. You don't know how good he's going to be. I think Le'Veon Bell, he commented on a post. I forgot what exactly he said, but
fight for you. He's pretty much said he'll take the blame.
Yeah, he'll take the blame, and it's just this year has just been weird with the fact that players, you know, so many injuries, and then now you have players that are in contract disputes getting injured. And you just wonder how this is going to affect the future of the NFL. Cool. Since and let's not forget that there's going to be a holdout in a few years.
I'm thinking Earl Thomas is probably done in Seattle. He probably played his last snap, especially after flicking off the sideline after getting carted off. If he played another snap for that team, I'd be shocked.
Yeah, his career's probably.
Is done.
I mean, look.
He didn't let me finish. No. Interrupted a little bitch.
Sheesh. Look, he's been an essential piece to that Seahawks defense. He was an important part. He's been one of the best players in, not only at with the Seahawks but in the NFL. You can't think of the Legion of Boom without Earl Thomas. And it's just sad, but I feel that it's even worse now because he's not going to get paid what he's worth. It's usually not like that in the NFL. We're seeing that with teams being reluctant to offer certain players a certain amount of money. Le'Veon Bell's been holding out. There's been trade talks for Le'Veon, and not many from – I think I was reading something that said that teams haven't been that aggressive because, you know, one, he could still be a free agent after the season, and it's not certain that he's going to stay. And you're going to trade a lot of valuable pieces, and you're gonna spend a lot of your cap on paying a player who wants to be paid as a number one receiver and a number one running back.
And you know, I think that's a good segue into Le'Veon Bell. You said there's rumors that he could get traded. Apparently, the Eagles are actually considering a trade for Le'Veon Bell, and they've considered it for a while. So, the Eagles got Le'Veon Bell. That'd be a very interesting add. And of course,
yeah, Jay Ajayi's been injured over the season. They've had a lot of injuries with Jay Ajayi, Corey Clement, Darren Sproles. Just a lot of players on that running back core have been injured.
The question is, will Le'Veon actually come back during the Week 7 bye week for the Steelers? I think that could be an interesting thing because
time to come back.
It would be, but of course, we all thought he was going to come back Week 1, and he didn't. So unless I really hear it from Le'Veon's I don't trust that he's going to come back by Week 7. Especially after seeing Earl Thomas getting injured, I don't know why he would come back earlier than when he has to, which would be, I think, week 11 when he has to play his first game so he can be a free agent. If he gets traded, I'm wondering if he actually plays earlier for another team. That would also be an interesting thing.
I
this rumor had to start from somewhere. And I doubt it was just made up by somebody.
Well, I mean, like I said, week one, there was rumors that he's going to come back that
Saturday. That,
well, that was on
Saturday?
Or it was Wednesday.
Just in time to pick up the check. Oh.
You know, yeah,
I remember that Saturday. Saturday was a deadline for him to make
for him to make money. Yeah, But everyone was saying back he would come that Wednesday, and of course it didn't happen. And his teammates were actually pissed off.
That was his teammates saying. Yeah. That was his teammates saying.
And look, for what it's worth, you could say he's only playing for money, but he's been very dedicated to this. Like the last, he's been franchise tagged a couple times already, but he's still come back this season. Man, he's leaving a lot of money on the table, and he's dedicated to it. And I mean, I don't doubt that he's not in football shape. We all know how great of a running back Le'Veon Bell is, and any of us would want him on our team. Hayden, maybe not you so much, because you have Christian McCaffrey, who
you have white Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah, basically white Le'Veon Bell. Best white running back since Peyton Hillis. Don't at me.
Ew, don't even put Peyton Hillis is gross.
I'm kidding. Don't even put McCaffrey in. But
you have to edit his name out of this.
Hey, he made a Madden cover.
Yeah. But
because that makes you good.
But yeah, Le'Veon, we all would want Le'Veon Bell on our team, and I think that he's. I don't know if he's gonna get his money, man. The what he's asking for is a hefty price, and I mean more power to him. We all want to see players get paid what they're worth, because I think I think that besides quarterback,
I mean,
every other position in the NFL might be a little underpaid for what they're doing.
Considering what he does at the wide receiver position, he probably should get paid at least as like a high end wide receiver. Maybe like an Odell level contract is probably what he deserves.
I'd say that I guess a bittersweet thing for the Steelers for him was Juju, because now they have an actual number two. But other than that, I mean, his usage, he's been a main target. And he does it everywhere. So we'll see how this goes. We'll see what happens. I hope
it's
going to
be hard
a lot of money
for him to get traded.
Yeah, because think about the
there's not going to be a lot of teams.
Think about the pieces
that are
going
to want to trade for him.
Like if you're a Super Bowl contender,
well, they're asking for a good player in a second round.
And unless you're a team that's ready to give that up, and many of the good teams, I don't think.
Well, what I think is going to end up happening with this is the only teams that can afford to pay him are teams that aren't that good.
No, yeah.
Why would the Steelers actually trade him? The Steelers probably need him more than any other team needs him.
And you know what sucks? Well, my argument.
The Steelers would trade him if they think he's actually going to leave. If he plans on leaving, you might as
well
trade him.
He still has to play for them. He has to play week 10 or week 11. So
he can play a whole 5 games for them. If they don't think getting 5 games out of him is worth it, just trade him.
I mean, but they still – they're going to need him for that playoff. They're going to need him for the playoff stretch.
I was
going to
say
probably
that.
Probably try to get in.
So the use for Le'Veon Bell, I know week one I said that you don't need Bell after what Connor did against the Browns, but next segment we'll talk about my opinion on Le'Veon Bell.
Now all of a sudden they can't run the ball.
They can't, but I at least want to talk about that a little later. But yeah, I hope every player get the money they deserve and that they earn. But it's going to be hard, because, I mean, the price that Le'Veon Bell is asking for statistically is reasonable. Statistically, what he does on the field, it's reasonable. I'm trying to pull up, like, his career. I want to see, like, his reception stats just so I can, like okay, so 2017 – 85 receptions. Okay, so this is his career in Pittsburgh. 45 receptions 2013, 83 receptions 2014, 24 in 2015, but I'm pretty sure he was injured part of that, or he was suspended too. I think that was the year him and LeGarrette Blount got in trouble for weed, or that might have been the season before. I don't remember. And then 75 in 2016, 85 in 2017. So in total, 312 receptions. That's more than a lot of.
That's an absurd amount.
That's a
running back.
That's a lot of receptions. Those are the kind of receptions like, I'd say a high end wide receiver one gets, not elite, but a high end wide receiver. You're. So yeah, he's played an important role And I don't know if you guys remember. I remember like what listening to like fantasy podcasts, and like if you have Le'Veon Bell, just expect to get a lot of points, and it doesn't have to be how efficient he is. Just know that the Steelers, if this is the last year's contract, it doesn't seem like he wants to return. They're gonna milk him, and they're gonna use him for every snap that he get and that he, that they can get out of him, and that's why he's holding out. And now he's in my hands. But Le'Veon Bell probably saw that. He knew that the Steelers are going to try to get everything they could. And there's been statistics showing that once a running back touches gets a certain amount of carries, I think it's like 250 or 300, because it happened to Marco Murray a few years ago. After you reach a certain amount of rushes, the next season you're going to regress. And sure, you're going to regress because some players you're not going to be as efficient, or you're just not going to see that amount of volume because one, you shouldn't be the, like Adrian Peterson, that almost that like 2000 yard season. You don't want a running back to, you don't have to use a certain player like that too much. It's more dependence, but yeah. So basically
the only teams I could see actually acquiring Le'Veon Bell, if the Steelers don't attempt to actually re-sign him, it's going to be like the Buccaneers or the Jets, or maybe like the Raiders, if they really don't think Marshawn is going to be here for long.
Which he's probably not, but he's been playing really well. He's near a third. I'll tell you that. Marshawn looks really good for somebody who retired.
Because, I mean, if the Steelers consider, if they want a second round pick from the Bucs, they can do that. The Bucs have a salary cap to sign him, and the Steelers also want a good player. Send him to Sean Jackson, because Le'Veon will be your number two receiver.
They still have like Godwin, so I mean they still have some players, but
I could see like the Jets sending off like Robbie Anderson or something in a second.
That'd be too much.
Robbie Anderson hasn't done much this year.
Robbie Anderson.
Why would you give up that much for a player that's going to leave your team, and they're not even going to be in playoff contention?
Well, this is assuming he want like I don't know. Maybe the Jets think they can hold on to him.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like if you have the money, Le'Veon Bell won't mind, and he'll improve your team.
I really don't think for him, it's more about getting his money than it is going to a winning team.
And here's the thing: I don't want to give Le'Veon Bell the label of like he only cares about money, because then it, you know.
I mean, he's earned it.
Like you have like I'll see tweets like Le'Veon Bell's ungrateful. We've gave him all his money. If he doesn't want to play for us, that's fine. I'm like, y'all really don't know how to appreciate a player. You know what? If Le'Veon Bell, you know, had like 30 receptions and like how many rushes? Like 300 or 250 rushes. That's fine. Say he's ungrateful, but Le'Veon Bell is the offense. All right, that's enough. I didn't expect us to go this long on Earl Thomas. So Nick, what about you? What's your story? Your biggest
Mine's
story.
More of an overarching story about the NFL and why a lot of these good teams from last year are sucking now.
So what do you have any main teams that you like to cover?
Eagles, Falcons, Steelers, Patriots, Vikings. A lot of them are having some big time struggles now.
Do you think there's a main reason?
We thought a lot of these New England's 2-2 and beat the Dolphins for 3-1. But...
Oh, you beat the Dolphins.
I'm kidding.
The Patriots are fine.
But yeah, I get what you're saying. Oh, that Tennessee game was shocking. Yeah, when I saw the score of that game.
Yeah, the Eagles are 2-2. We all thought they were going to be top of the NFL.
Every time a team wins a Super Bowl, they chill at the beginning of the season, and then they'll ramp it up.
Marcus Mariota, 30 for 43, 344 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception. And we all thought that – we all believed in the beginning of the season that Philly would have a solid defense, one like the Rams or what we think the Vikings defense will become after a little. I thought they did.
I thought their defense was going to struggle.
Tennessee's starting to become a.
I don't trust that secondary.
Tennessee's 3-1, guys. They're sneaky good.
Yeah, they beat the Eagles and
the first game that you have Marcus Mariota back, the first full game he plays, he's healthy. You get Marcus Mariota having the stat line I said earlier. And Corey Davis, 9 for 61 and a touchdown. Taywan Taylor's 777. So they have weapons on that team. I wouldn't say we've been waiting for Tennessee to blow up, but with the amount of, you know, talented players they have this time. But yeah, Philly's in trouble. No, I wouldn't say not. In trouble. Philly's struggling. But they're struggling.
They're going to be fine.
That's why I caught myself. They're not in trouble, but
they're struggling.
They're struggling.
On the struggle.
Remember, Nick Foles, I mean, some of these teams that he beat last season, you had the Falcons and the Vikings and then the Patriots. I mean, they were a lot better than some of the teams that the Eagles have faced this year, and it just seems like they're having a slower start than I thought they would have. I mean,
the Vikings don't look as good as they were supposed to.
Their defense looks bad.
The defense is
looking bad. Yeah.
Xavier Rhodes isn't shutting anybody down. Mike Hughes had one good week. Their run defense can't stop anybody. They're not pressuring that much.
Do we consider Pittsburgh to be a good team?
It's just everything looks bad.
Yes.
They were supposed to be.
Jacksonville won. I mean, Jacksonville's had a weird season because you beat the Giants, you beat the Patriots, but then you lose to the Titans 9-6, and you beat the Jets. So they're probably back on track now.
The Steelers and the Falcons are about to be in a fight for their lives. Yeah. For the playoff line.
Hey, let's not forget Hayden's beloved Houston Texans, 1-3.
Oh,
yeah, I don't know what's going on there. To be honest, I
dude be 0-4 if the Colts aren't.
Hey,
you
remember Hayden saying that they're gonna be a first seed? I do.
Yeah, and go to the Super Bowl.
Pepperidge Farms remembers. It is still possible.
It's
they're 1-3 now. You know, so I mean,
should be 0-4.
It doesn't matter what you should be; it's what you are. So I mean. They're definitely not going to get the one seed.
I don't know, man. The way they're looking, they're not going to.
I expected more out of Deshaun Watson and then their defense.
Like Jacksonville and Tennessee, to me, have just looked a lot better than.
I don't think Tennessee will make it to the playoffs. So.
I think they will.
I think
the way they're playing.
I mean, I don't know.
I think they could. I'm not going to say they will.
They haven't looked impressive in any of their games. Like, sure, they've been winning. But like it's still very early to.
So is beating the Eagles that impressive?
I just said they haven't looked defending impressive. Super Bowl champions. They okay. don't pass my eye test.
Well, yeah, but you have Sunday ticket, right?
Maybe
I do.
Forgot, see, not all of us get to give the eye test.
See, that's why they can rely on me for the eye test. I can tell them how it really is.
But this is
because you're the reliable, not
but this is the first game that you have Marcus Mariota fully playing, fully healthy, and. You know, you go out there and beat the Eagles. I get what you're saying, but I think that their team going up.
I mean, I respect them for grinding out these games and winning, but it's just like, you know, I don't believe in them yet. I need to see more out of them.
Yeah, so looks like the Titans will not be making Hayden's top five on his power rankings because
you don't know that.
They don't pass the eye test. All right, so let's move on to your story, Hayden.
Well, we already talked about my story, though, with the Le'Veon Bell.
Oh, I thought
the keeper got kicked out of the game.
All right, so guys, let's start about our games of the week. I'm gonna start off with Shishka Moscow and Real Madrid. Bad 1-0 loss to Shishka Moscow by Real Madrid. We suck.
Real Madrid needs an Aldo.
We hit the woodwork like 3 or 4 times.
Surprise soccer mission.
Missing,
okay,
I'm missing good old Ronnie. And all right, now let's talk about the real game.
Mourinho's
number
one.
Talk about
the real football.
Chelsea's in third place in the Premier League. Yay!
No one cares.
All right.
Yeah, United in 10th place in the Premier League.
Oh my gosh!
I don't watch. All right, but back to real football.
Your team is shit, mate.
And I'm sure most of our viewers here would be interested in is the Falcons Bengals game, which me and Nick both have as our game
three
of the week.
Of them.
Of course, the Falcons' defense continues to struggle with their key injuries.
Ha ha, Falcons, Lamar.
Matt Ryan continues to play well, but, you know, he's...
Because he has no choice.
He's the first
the poor guy has no choice.
In history to lose back-to-back games with 350 yards passing and 3 touchdowns. You know, that's typical.
Man, if only
Falcons
he had good receivers.
Right, if only Julio could catch a touchdown, you know, but...
Maybe they'd score more
what
points.
What was it? 2000. He's projected to have more than 2,000 yards, no touchdowns.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible.
I mean, he He was aiming for a 2,000-yard season. I just don't think he was aiming for it this kind of way.
Julio Jones is allergic to the end zone. That's just how it works. Some players can't score touchdowns.
Julio Jones, 9 for 173 in the game. Calvin Ridley, 454 and 2 touchdowns. More touchdowns in one game than Julio Jones has had all season. Hold on. Yeah, Logan Paulson. Tight end Logan Paulson for the Atlanta Falcons. 1 reception, 17 yards, and a touchdown.
He'll probably have more touchdowns than Julio this season.
Yeah.
The fact that – wait, how many touchdowns did you say Calvin Ridley has
this year? I want to say – let me check right now. He has 6 touchdowns this season.
He's like – Jesus, which, God, that's insane. Which,
if I'm correct,
the record Julio, is 22.
If I'm correct, Julio scored like 2 or 3 last season, right?
3, I believe.
So, Julio Jones in the last
he scored 3 last season.
2 seasons has scored less touchdowns.
9 touchdowns.
He scored 9 touchdowns in the last 2 seasons. Is that what you're saying? Yeah. He's
yeah.
Damn. Calvin Ridley might.
He's only scored double digit touchdowns so, twice or once. Calvin Ridley, 2012.
Who's I thought was going to be like the, I mean, what we'd say is like the third best receiver on that team because Sanu's pretty good, is has more touchdowns than Julio does.
Calvin Ridley's the best receiver on that team.
I would say that. Calvin Ridley's only going off because they're not the defenses aren't focusing on him as much as what they are Julio and Sanu. So that's why he's getting – like, if you look at his touchdowns, a lot of them are pretty wide open. And then a lot of them came against that terrible Saints defense. I mean, not to take anything away from Calvin Ridley because 6 touchdowns is a lot, but I'm just saying he's not being guarded at the level Julio Jones and Sanu are being guarded at.
But I mean, y'all think this Falcon offense regresses anyway because the teams they played haven't exactly had – And what worries me that I wanted to talk about that. Okay, so they play the Steelers, Buccaneers, and Giants. Those are easy. But then they play the Redskins, Browns, Cowboys. Not going to say those are great defenses, but they've been solid. Those are solid defenses.
All right,
those
defenses.
Are, yeah. To me, it just worries me that the Falcons' offense is going to they're going to depend on their shootouts. But I don't think you can win all these shootouts because. All it's going to take is one stop.
You need a defense
yeah.
to win.
And their defense is full of injuries this season.
Yeah.
So
I mean, if they fall to 1-4, they're done. And they, to be honest, 1-3 isn't looking too great for them
yeah.
right now either.
Yeah.
The Falcons and Steelers are going to be in a fight on Sunday. That's going to be a good game to watch.
Like 50-51 yeah. final score.
It's going to be a good game to watch.
But yeah. Sorry,
I do feel like we do have to mention the Bengals a little bit. We can't just not talk about the team that won.
Andy Dalton is playing very well. I don't know if people
337 yards, 3 touchdowns, well. Really good. And of course, I mean, last week
he don't also forget one pick
300 plus yards. I mean,
hey, that's low for him.
Yeah, but I mean, he played a great game. He led that game-winning drive, and then AJ Green had that awesome catch in the end zone. So.
Best receiver in the league.
Although there was a sad moment when Tyler Eifert
sprinkle
went,
of hot
went
takes
down, but
his foot turned the wrong direction. Yeah, that
you know, I
prayers up for my fellow Jew.
I feel bad for him, man. He just can never stay on the field. He can never stay healthy, and he's a talented player. So hopefully, I hope his next season and on, he's able to stay on the field. But yeah, the Cincinnati Bengals offense is. Pretty darn good. Did you guys know? I don't know. So Matthew Berry said this on the Fantasy Focus podcast. Andy Dalton is third in touch since Bill Lazor became their offensive coordinator. Andy Dalton is third in touchdowns behind Russell Wilson and Tom Brady. So it's not that this offense just started exploding out of nowhere. No, they've been playing well, and Andy Dalton is kind of having an explosion after that one. I want to say like 1 or 2 years after he got his contract where he was like, see, this is why you don't, pay certain players. Because if I remember, he had the highest paid – he was the highest paid quarterback like 4 years ago. It's a long time ago. But
I don't know about that.
I don't remember that either.
I know. He got like a new
– Yeah, that didn't happen.
He was a very high
– He got a new contract, but the highest paid quarterbacks went from Rodgers to Luck. It never went to Dalton.
That's just bad on me.
And then after Luck, it was Carr. And then after Carr, it was Stafford.
Was Russell Wilson not paid as much as Andrew Luck?
Nope.
Sad.
He was not.
I don't know how. I feel like Russell Wilson.
Oh, no. Matt Ryan was the highest paid for like a day and a half.
He was.
I do remember, though, the whole little Matt Ryan's wash thing after the game against the Eagles, but he's looked a lot better against not so great defense.
Matt Ryan seems to play really good when he has a bad defense and plays not that great when he has a good defense.
Well, no, that defense on the field was the Super Bowl wasn't even though Trufant was out there,
he gets exposed.
That defense was solid the 2 years ago when they went to the Super Bowl. But yeah, right now he has to play like this just because they have to catch him somehow. And
it's not sustainable, in my opinion.
Yeah, they're going to get slowed down. But,
it's definitely not sustainable.
But I think if you're a Falcons fan, it's a good sign because last year – and it happened with Shanahan and it's happened with Sarkisian that in his second season, after the team learns the offense, it seems like the Falcons' offense is explosive and Ryan's pretty good.
You could argue, though, with the Falcons, once they're – when their defense is good, their offense is bad. And when their offense is good, their defense is bad. It's just – it's one or the other.
Yeah.
Which ends up screwing them up. If they had last year's defense with this year's offense, I bet they'd be undefeated right now instead of 1-3.
Yeah.
But you also have injuries.
Injuries have killed them.
It's not saying that they had last year's defense. They have last year's defense. It's just that some of those guys aren't playing.
That's a big deal. It's not available for them.
I was just saying name-wise, it's still there. They lost.
Not really. There if you count injured reserve.
That's what I meant. All right, so.
The other thing for that offense,
Bengals look to be a threat this year, which is disgusting to say.
Devonta Freeman.
Oh, okay, never mind. But yeah.
He's hurt. Might not get better.
Yeah, but Coleman and Ito are solid. The Bengals, their schedule up to week 11. Dolphins, Steelers, Chiefs, Buccaneers, Saints, and then the Ravens week 11. So
that's actually kind of tough.
Dalton's the waiver ad.
Yeah, Andy Dalton.
Those are some easy defenses.
Yeah, and with this, I think that you're going to see the Bengals could be first in the AFC North. That game against the Ravens in week 11 will be very important for them. For the Falcons, well, a big matchup with the Steelers. A must-win, yeah. But
for both teams.
Yeah, their next big game would probably be against the Saints week 12. They have the Steelers next, Bucks, Giants, Redskins, Browns, Cowboys. So they they could really turn their record around, I think. I think they can beat the Steelers. I think they can beat the Bucks. The Giants are
– but will they?
The Giants' offense is not as great. The Buccaneers' offense, it depends on how good Jameis is.
Hey, if Fitzmagic is in, he can put up
40 points. No, shut up.
Hype.
Hey, he got his jersey down in the Hall of Fame today. So, the only quarterback to throw
which
400-plus yards in three straight games.
Yeah, I think that
– and he's getting benched for
Chicago Bears.
At,
I think so the Chicago Bears would like to tell you about Fitzmagic. All right, so moving on to my game, guys. Steelers-Ravens. Oh, Steelers-Ravens. The Steelers lost an important game. Yeah, again, they're 1-2-1. They lost 26-14 on Sunday Night Football. And to me, I was just going to say that just like the Falcons, this loss worries me. They're behind in a division where the other two leaders, the Bengals and the Ravens, just look to be in a better place. I'd say I'd give the Ravens a little more of an edge just because their defense has been just so good. And their defense was solid. They held the Steelers offense 284 yards, 19 yards rushing, which is their lowest amount of offensive yards this season. Joe Flacco was solid as he's been this year, which I didn't expect to say. 20-42, 363 yards, 2 touchdowns and a pick. And now the Ravens are tied for the division lead, or they should be They're second in the division. Sorry. Record wise, yeah, they're tied with the Bengals, but they did lose to the Bengals. So to me, I think that what we're seeing is that Le'Veon Bell's is highly missed. James Conner hasn't ran as well as he did earlier in the season. First game, I wouldn't say earlier, because against the Buccaneers, I mean, he had like a 20-yard rush, and he only ran for like 60 yards. I'm not going to say only, but he ran for like 60 yards, and it was bigger plays that got him to that 60-yard mark. But it just seems like the offense it's still good. Ben still played solid, but the Steelers defense, man, the Steelers defense is holding them back a lot. And it's games like, and what worries me is that we know about Ben's home road split, in quotes, to explain. If you look back at the last few seasons, Ben Roethlisberger has performed a lot better at home than he has away. And he's been he's not going to say pretty bad, but he hasn't been great on the road. And, usually you want your quarterback to be good at away. You can win his big games. And I think that losing to the Ravens, now you're 1-2-1, you're a few games behind. And the Ravens just seem to be a better team at the moment than them. They're a lot more balanced. And I'm just worried for the Steelers, because if they lose this game to the Falcons, same with the Falcons, if they lose this game to the Steelers, you're 1-4. And that's not – it's a hard record to come back from.
Technically, the Steelers would be 1-3-1, but
no. Oh, they'd be 1-3-1. Sorry, I forgot. I keep on forgetting that they tied the Browns.
They probably, the Browns browned that game up, so.
But is it bad that I've forgotten? I think it's like the second straight week that I've forgotten that they tied a game. So do forgive me for my inaccurate.
Don't forgive him. Knowledge. Never trust his takes, because he never has his stats right.
Whatever you say. But the Steelers defense, 30th in total yards. They allow 420.5 yards a game, 304.8 passing yards. And they're 26th in points allowed, with 29.
That's pretty good.
Is it? Because
definitely, it's not bad at all.
I mean, they're you know.
No, it's pretty bad.
Yeah, no, it's horrible. And the thing is that their offense has been playing at outrageous rates. But as we saw with the Ravens, I mean, if you can get a good defense on them, you're gonna pay.
And which is pretty much the same. Like the Falcons and Steelers they're pretty close. In terms of their struggles, there's some parallels there, because if you get a good defense on the Falcons, it's going to be a tough day for the Falcons.
Yeah, but I'd say that they're at least better, more spread out. I mean, you have Julio, you have you have Calvin Ridley, and
oh, no doubt their offense.
Mohamed Sanu, and once Freeman's back and Coleman, when those two are having, but the Steelers,
if you can hold the Falcons offense to 20 points or less, you're going to win the game, just because their defense is going to give you more than 20 points.
Yeah. But the Steelers' upcoming schedule, man, if they have to win this game, you want to get, in a rhythm.
It's rough.
Falcons, so that's going to be a shootout. Bengals, Browns, Ravens, Panthers, Jaguars, Broncos. So you have 7 games.
Out
of week 12.
Le'Veon Bell's coming back week seven, which is the bye week. Who they play in week 8?
Browns, which would be a great game to, to get back.
All right, so they would have Le'Veon for the Browns, and then you said the Panthers and Jags. So,
Ravens and Broncos.
So that'd be an important stretch if he actually comes back.
No, it's going to be a pivotal stretch, because, look, you play 2 division games, right? You already lost to the Ravens once. So you're already behind. You're gonna want to win both. Then they're at the Bengals and the Ravens. If Ben struggles away, it won't be good. They'll have Le'Veon back, hopefully. So, yeah. So the Falcons and Steelers worry me this season, and it's for me. I think that if Le'Veon Bell comes back, the Steelers will fare a little better, but they're going to need to pick it up. And I was just going to say, too, I can't believe I'm saying this. The Ravens actually might be an AFC contender. The way they've been playing.
Yeah. It might be. Their offense has been playing really well.
Yeah.
I'm surprised. Joe Flacco looks like a borderline elite quarterback.
Oh, stop that. No, I'm not going to say that. But the defense, a second in total yards, fourth in passing yards allowed, under 200 yards, fourth in rushing yards allowed with 82.5. Tied for third at points allowed, 16.3. So their defense has been playing really well. They're now getting back. I want to say it was Jimmy Smith, right? The one of their corners. Yep, Jimmy Smith
coming back.
So strengthening their defense, and so yeah, we'll see how Baltimore fares. They play the Browns next, and then the Titans, Saints, Panthers, Steelers. So they're also coming up to an important stretch. So yeah. Those were the games of the week that we kind of want to discuss, and just some teams we want to discuss. All right, so guys, now it's time to give our That's a Lot of Damage Player of the Week. Totally not sponsored or presented by Flex Tape, Flex Seal, Flex Cover, or Phil Swift himself.
Yeah.
So
we have contacted about a sponsorship.
We do not. We're waiting, though. Phil Swift, if you ever want to give us a sponsorship, we're here.
It's not a joke. I have contacted on a sponsorship.
Oh, my gosh. All right. So, hey, let's go first. You should go first.
Okay. So, the best player first, right? Since mine's obviously the best. And
Cam Newton.
This player.
Yeah, Cam Newton. Cam Newton looks so good at practice.
That bye week was pretty good for Cam Newton. No, but in all honesty.
No interceptions.
This player I could have picked for any of the past few weeks, and I'm going to pick him now because he deserves it, and it's going to be Patrick Mahomes. What he did in that game against the Broncos I thought was pretty great. He struggled in the first half. I think he only had like 60-something yards passing in the first half. And, I mean, they were down. The Chiefs were down by about, I think it was 10 points in the fourth quarter, and Mahomes is like, nah, screw that. I'm going to show everyone that I can handle the adversity, and then he leads the Chiefs to a win, and of course that game winning drive he had, he outran Von Miller on a couple plays, which is tough to do, and he literally had to throw the ball in his left hand one play to get the first down, which is pretty incredible. I mean, I think Patrick Mahomes this game for me proved that he's probably going to be a star in this league for the future, and then he's the front runner for MVP in my opinion.
He looked really good. I also so this weekend I kind of wanted to see. I was thinking something that it wasn't anything complicated, but I thought that I was interested in seeing what some of these quarterbacks would do against complicated defenses, harder defenses. Fitzpatrick, first 3 weeks putting up outrageous stats. Ben Roethlisberger the same, and I thought Pat Mahomes would also be slowed down by what's a solid Denver defense and. Yeah,
he was slowed down by his standards.
Yeah, by his standards, but man, it was an impressive performance. Leading the end of the, I mean, you as a rookie, man, it's amazing to see that your rookie quarterback can bounce back away.
Not a rookie.
Or at an away game. Oh, right.
He'd be a rookie in the NBA, but not here.
You guys don't trust Johan.
I forgot, man. He didn't play at all last season except like the last game. But it's good to see your second year quarterback that's go out there after just blowing up the league and the first time he actually plays what's a solid defense, the first time he's actually challenged, he's able to bounce back.
And this is on the road in a very hostile environment. It's not easy to play in Denver.
Mile High Stadium.
So, I mean, yeah, this was, in my opinion, I know he put up some insane stats his first few weeks, but this was the most impressive game I've seen from Patrick Mahomes.
Still no picks.
Yeah, and that's pretty crazy. It's going to happen eventually, but that's pretty crazy.
Trading Alex Smith, you don't want to trade – usually teams don't trade veterans, but, yeah, you see why they did it. And Patrick Mahomes, I wanted to say that what he's been doing is unsustainable, but what he showed Sunday night, or it's Monday night. Sorry.
Once again, Johan. Once again.
Da, 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 da.
Hey, Hayden, shut up. Look, oof. I'm sorry. Monday night, what he did Monday night was impressive. I'd just like to also give a shout-out to Case Keenum for missing wide-open players for game-winning touchdowns and giving me the scare of a lifetime.
Hey, you're lucky that Chiefs player didn't pick off that pass at the end of the game.
Yeah, I'm lucky because then I'd have to hear Nick tell me that his fantasy team's better. So, on to you this week,
somebody should break that player's hands because he can't use them. Right?
On to you this week, Hayden.
Johan, me and you projected the second and third highest – scoring teams for the week.
Well, I'm gonna
so.
Be first because I'm gonna destroy you, and then I'm gonna win. So good. And we saw Pat Mahomes score a rushing touchdown.
We did.
Yay! Yeah. He's had cool. like 22 in like his last two seasons in college. So he thought it was like 1 year, but he had a outrageous number of rushing touchdowns in college.
So I think we can all agree, my player's the best, and we don't even need to go into your guys' players. Eh?
You're right. He is better than Cam Newton.
Okay, let's not get into that conversation. Okay, so moving on, we'll go to Johan's less talented player that he chose.
If you had told me this two seasons ago under Jeff Fisher, yes. But my player this week, Jared Goff for the Los Angeles Rams. 26 for 33, 465 yards, 5 touchdowns, no picks, perfect passer rating, and the Rams offense continues to just tear everybody up. And against going into the season, I thought that the Vikings defense would be, you know, elite. He wasn't really slowed down. I mean, Jared Goff has just looked really good this year. And their test against a team that could play them in the AFC and the NFC. Championship. Gosh, I'm messing up so much. And the NFC Championship. He puts up some crazy numbers.
Deserving of this too, as much as I was talking shit about Mahomes.
Goff is an MVP candidate.
He definitely is. I would agree with that.
Going into the season, you think that after what the Rams did last year wasn't a fluke, but you expect the offense to come back to earth a little. And
The fact they added Brandon Cooks to their offense is very helpful for them.
Yeah.
They have a bunch of talent.
Cooper Kupp has arrived to that offense, too.
Yeah. I mean Jared Goff.
We'll hold off on
that. Pipe down over there. Cam
I think
Newton,
you're the one
that
needs to pipe
Cooper
down. I don't know why everyone keeps bringing Cam Newton into this. But hey, DJ Moore
Hayden's
is going to step it up.
Hayden's offended.
Nice Hail Mary drop you got there, DJ Moore.
But yeah. Jared Goff has just been impressive.
We're going to keep it
and,
on topic.
Against a –
Jeff Janis would never.
Against Minnesota, he balled. And he just – he was amazing. And, yeah, that's my – that's a lot of damage player of the week, Jared Goff.
So me and Johan definitely have the only two players that qualify. But we can go ahead and go to next.
I mean – Knicks.
No,
Mitchell Trubisky.
He actually has a good one too. The fact a bunch of quarterbacks did good this week.
So I just want to preface.
Six touchdowns, baby.
I just want to preface what Nick's saying. 6 touchdowns. He only threw 7 last year.
Wow, Johan's stealing the thunder. I bet Nick had that stat ready too.
I hope.
Damn,
not.
I just got cucked.
Nick's got nothing to say anymore. God, Johan.
6 touchdowns. That's more than both your quarterbacks. So suck it.
Sorry, my quarterback's on a bye.
You should totally give us a stat line so we can all drool.
Yeah.
Against one of the worst pass defenses in the league.
It doesn't matter. He beat who's in front of him, all
right? That's totally coach speak right there, and I'm offended that you'd use
73%
kind of
completion rate, 354 yards, 6 TDs, no picks, almost a perfect passer rating, 154.6.
Why didn't he get the 7 touchdowns, though? That's the question. He could have tied the record.
Because, hey, respect your opponent, man.
They pulled the Panthers and played bad defense.
Okay.
Yeah.
Take a shot to the Panthers now, I guess. Go for it.
But, yeah, Trubisky looked really well. I don't know if I can expect another 6 touchdown game to ever come from him again. But
you're right. You should expect 7. Because he's the best.
Was it Matt Flynn who threw 7 touchdowns?
Hell yeah. against the Lions.
Is that still the record? Is that still like the record of touchdowns?
Tied for the record.
I got a question for you guys, and I think this is a pretty interesting thing that we can discuss. What quarterback? We each named three young quarterbacks. Which one are you taking?
Aaron Rodgers.
Doesn't count.
No, okay, but out of Patrick Mahomes, Goff, and then
Patrick Mahomes. I'm not taking Mitch Trubisky's bum ass.
I'm not taking Trubisky either, but I don't think it'd be fair. He's gonna turn around those Goff.
Picks next game.
He has the Dolphins Patriots next, so he'll be fine.
For me, I'm also taking Mahomes.
I'm gonna hold on. I don't know, man. I think that just automatically taking Mahomes isn't fair to Goff because Goff is still putting
Johan, up the you have to numbers. Take right now. There's 5 seconds left.
If I have to take one right, if I have to take one,
three, four,
who am I? Three. Okay, hold on. Can I get some questions answered before? Right? Is this with their teams as they're built right now going forward, or is this
you're
like
starting if a I new just, team? If you're and if you you're need a quarterback,
me, if you're giving me New England quality receivers, fresh off the streets,
no, hold
is
on.
Is that what you're telling me?
No. You're starting a new team and you need a quarterback. Who are you taking out of these three?
So nobody else is signed. I just need to sign a quarterback.
You
who am
just
I taking?
Need a
Jesus Christ.
Yes, who are you taking?
Yeah, I mean, I got to take Mahomes.
All right.
There we go.
I wanted to say Goff, but Goff has also been blessed
Patrick
with
Mahomes, Post Mahomes, Mike Holmes. It doesn't matter.
Goff has been blessed with weapons and having Todd Gurley and losing a terrible coach.
Weapons in California? I don't think so.
All right.
On that note,
we end this week's segment of So yeah, those are our That's a Lot of Damage players of the week. Not sponsored by Phil Swift or the Flex family of products. But Phil Swift, if this somehow gets to you, we
please
gladly
sponsor.
Accept.
Our families are starving. We have no income.
I'm not going to say I'm not.
We're all
I'm
broke
starving.
College
I'm,
students.
Speak for yourself, buddy.
All right. So, yeah. All right. So, guys, now it's time for us to give our teams of the week. I'll start off first. My team of the week this week, the Chicago Bears, dominated the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, embarrassed them, and all this Fitzmagic stuff we've had to hear for the first 3 weeks of the season, done. No more Fitzmagic. Fitzpatrick taken out at halftime, replaced
by
Jameis Winston.
On the best quarterback they've seen in years.
I wouldn't say that. But yeah, the Chicago Bears on offense, Mitchell Trubisky, as we discussed earlier, had the game of his career, almost matching the amount of touchdowns he had all last season. Yeah, six touchdowns, man. That's like as many.
Hey, that's
passing
one more than five.
That's one more than five. That's like Cam Newton's amount of like passing touchdowns because he has like 50 rushing.
Hey, what's Tom Brady's record against Cam Newton? Can you remind me?
Hey, okay. Whoop. Is that even on topic? We're totally talking about the Chicago
you
Bears.
You literally brought up Cam Newton. You brought up Cam Newton.
Chicago Bears allowing 311 yards, but had one sack, three interceptions, and one fumble. And, I mean, they just controlled this game. That defense is still elite. They're going to be... That defense is going to be scary to face.
It's going to be scary for a few years.
Yeah. I mean, once
Aaron Rodgers' other ATL is quivering.
And I pray for Chicago Bear, the opponents of Chicago Bears.
I mean,
pray
honestly,
for their quarterbacks.
They could be 4-0 right now.
And Khalil Mack, guys. The Oakland Raiders are still looking for a pass rusher. There's not many good pass rushers out there. I mean, they had this guy named Khalil Mack.
It's really hard to get one.
Three tackles.
Drafting was hard.
One assisted tackle and a sack and a fumble, a forced fumble. I mean, still dominating just as much. I mean, so I just want to read Khalil Mack's stats this year. Five sacks, one interception, And four forced fumble. And, I mean, this man is just playing out of his mind.
Defensive player of the year.
Yeah, I mean, we knew Chicago had a – well, Chicago had a solid defense last year, but we're just seeing now how dominant they are. And I don't think that the Chicago Bears will be doing so well offensively, but their defense will continue keeping them in games and winning them games.
Defense wins championships,
would it be a stretch to say that they could – I'm not going to say match, but they could be as good as the Rams' defense?
Potentially.
I mean, like, right this now, is the worst they're probably better because of the injuries.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because they lost I think Talib's out for some time. Peters is still kind of recovering.
Speaking of the Rams, they have a team I picked for Team of the Week. And, of course, you guys highlighted the Jared Goff and how legit he looks. And, of course, I mean, I don't know how you're supposed to stop that offense. I really don't. Like, if Goff has a bad game, just hand it off to Todd Gurley, one of the best running backs in the NFL. And, I mean, I think this game clearly showed they're one of the favorites to win the Super Bowl. I think they are the clear favorite, actually. And they're decent
than everyone else. I don't know who's beating them right now.
They're the Alabama right now of the NFL.
We want Bama. Come and beat Atlanta. So, didn't the Rams play in the last Super Bowl held in Atlanta?
I think so. Wasn't that the Super Bowl like where the guy got stopped?
The Titans against the Titans.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that was interesting they made it back. Yep. I mean, yeah, this offense is playing at that. I mean, Todd Gurley, 17 for 83. That's a great game. But then what are you supposed to do, man, when Cooper Kupp, 9 for 162, two touchdowns. Brandon Cooks, 7, 116, and a touchdown. Robert Woods, 5, 101, a touchdown. Todd Gurley, 4, 73, and a touchdown. I mean, come on. Come on, man. Come on. What are you supposed to do?
Like, not win.
Just take the L. Yes.
Do you guys see them losing all this? And it's a dumb question.
Going undefeated.
Yeah, no, nobody goes.
So they play the Packers week 8.
Play the Chiefs. Oh, well, there's their loss.
Play the Bears week 14.
It won't be the Packers that beat them.
I like those odds.
Play the Eagles week 15. So there's some opportunities for them to get beaten. But the way this team's playing, I mean, I guess maybe the Eagles beat them. That's the only team that like. Just talent-wise could probably beat them other than the Vikings. But if the Vikings couldn't do it, I just don't see anybody else who can.
Yeah.
All right.
They're going to be a hard team to beat.
Yeah. What about you? So, Nick, I think you still have to give your team.
Yeah, my team of the week is going to be the Green Bay Packers. Another day, another dub.
Okay. All right. Congrats. You beat the Bills.
First defensive shutout since 2008.
Woohoo! I'll just give another team. Shout out to the Tennessee Titans for beating the Philadelphia Eagles 26-23.
Shout out to Aaron.
Even defending Super
Jamal Williams, Tyler Emery. Good
running. Even defending Super Bowl champs. Game winning.
Let me throw some stats at you guys. The Packers are 4th in QB pressures, 3rd in quarterback sacks, 2nd in interceptions. Playing pretty good defense. Who'd have thought the Packers' problem would be their quarterback play? Who would have thought with this team?
I mean,
397 total yards.
You beat the
4
Bills.
Sacks. Are you done?
Oh, yeah. That's all I had. Yeah.
Because you picked the Green Bay Packers to beat the Buffalo Bills.
2020, yeah.
I also presented I already talked about the Tennessee Titans being an honorary team of the week from my part, because beating the Bills isn't exactly.
Hey, that can be the only one here. He's biased.
All right.
If he gets a bloviate about his team every podcast.
All right.
All right. So the moment everyone's been waiting for, the official
Nobody NFL was.
Power rankings that you I paid waiting. For it to be the official power rankings.
You ain't paid me anything.
I wouldn't do that. I'll have to pay you crap.
Oh, ouch.
But starting off at number five, and I know you guys are going to freak out I had them at five last week. I had them at five last week. I'm not going to drop them for being a guy. And, of course, adding Eric Reed to the team helps improve probably the weakest part in the defense. So that's why I have them at five and really no one jumping over them because I don't trust the Ravens.
All right, all right.
I like how you didn't even say the name of the team.
Well, I think the Groves allowed them to get a good guess and bias. All right.
And then so number four is a new addition for the week. I didn't have him in last week. I have the Jags there. I think Blake Bortles is showing that he's actually a competent quarterback. He has 7 touchdowns, 3 picks, over 1,000 yards throwing the ball. And, of course, I mean, the defense is pretty freaking awesome, too. So I think four is a respectable spot for them. Would you guys agree?
Yeah.
I'm curious to see who you knocked out for them.
I mean, the loss of the Titans still kind of leaves a sour taste.
But... Well, I can tell you right now, a team, I'll tell you who I knocked out.
Oh, did you bump the Vikings?
I never had the Vikings in. I didn't have the Vikings
loss. Because they had just come off the Bills loss, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'll get through my rankings, and I'll tell you who the team I left out if you don't realize. So number Preparing three.
Groans.
And the Patriots moved up from last week. They were 4 last week. They are 3 this week, and I think we all know the Patriots are going to be fine. They're used to struggling a little bit in September. So
no days off. Days off. Sorry.
And to be honest, I have the Patriots lower than the Chiefs right now, but I think
I wouldn't blame you.
In the long term, I think the Patriots have a better chance at the Super Bowl. But speaking of the Chiefs, I have the Chiefs at number 2. They actually moved up because they were 3 last week. They moved up, and I think Mahomes is showing that he's going to be a future superstar in the league. But the thing is that concerns me is their defense. It's like they're kind of like the Falcons, but they're actually winning games, so no one's really worried about the defense. But the defense is going to have to step up. They're going to want to win the Super Bowl. What do you guys think?
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
All right, and then the number one team, I think we all know it's going to be the Los Angeles Rams. Clearly the front runners.
Man, I can't believe somebody dethroned the Carolina Panthers.
They were never one, but okay.
They're number one in your mind.
Yeah, the Rams. Yeah, the Rams were really good.
I do worry about their defense a little bit as well, but that's only really because of injuries. But once they get their injuries, they're going to be a stacked defense. So they have the offense-defense combination, which is going to be pretty deadly. And so the team I did leave out, which was on my power rankings last week, I don't know if you caught
the
on,
Eagles,
but
it the was Bucks.
The Eagles. The Eagles, I didn't have the Bucks last week. The Eagles were number 2 last week. Of course, they drop out because, I mean, them losing to the Titans, that's not a good look, even though you guys like to jack off to the Titans. I don't.
Jesus, man.
I think that's a bad
wow.
I think it's a bad loss.
I ain't gay.
Again, Jesus. All right. Yeah, we understand. We understand. We think the Titans are better than you think.
So just to recap, I have the Rams 1, Chiefs 2, Patriots 3, Jags 4, and finish off it is the Carolina at number 5.
You mean at number 1?
This is the
one?
Worst list in the history of lists.
Now we will talk about what our games of the week for week 5 are. So let's start off with Nick.
Oof. All right. Well, my game of the week is Steelers-Falcons. It's already a must-win game for 2 teams that were expected a lot more of this year. It's only week 5. So it's going to be a nice high-scoring game. Something along the lines of like 40-some to 38, probably 44 to 38. It'll be a fun game to watch.
I'm trying to find the over under.
Ben Roethlisberger will give me 50... a nice chunk of fantasy points.
So it's a 57.5.
I'm taking the over.
So they're projecting at least 57 points, or, you know, that's what they think.
I'll take the over on that.
Yeah, it's going to be a high-scoring game. If you love defense, one, you're lame. Two, ew. Three, this is not the game for you, because this game is going to be ugly. It's going to get ugly fast.
Joe, how do I know about being ugly?
Thanks. All right, so moving on, we go to my game of the week. I think that the Minnesota Vikings playing the Philadelphia Eagles, a rematch of last year's NFC Championship. I think it'll be the game of the week. Both teams coming off a big loss, Minnesota to the Rams and Philadelphia to the Titans. Luckily, Philadelphia still, you know, I'm pretty sure they're still in control of their division. But Minnesota, they're falling behind. This is not a team that has performed as well as we thought they would at the moment. This is a must-win for them, in my opinion. They're a game and a half behind Chicago and half a game behind Green Bay. But Chicago, I mean, they play Miami next. They should be able to win that game. And Green Bay plays Detroit. I think that, you know, Minnesota, they need a win. And they need to prove themselves to be the team that we all expected them to be, which is a Super Bowl contender. I mean, the offense was great last week. I mean, they were good, but I mean, like, the Minnesota defense, 21st in yards allowed, 22nd in points allowed. I mean, for a defense that's as talented as defenses, they haven't shown up. And the Eagles, I mean, Carson Wentz is back, which has helped, which is going to, you know, in the long run is going to help them tremendously, but coming off a loss to the Titans,
I think it's a must win for both.
It's a must win for both.
Eagles are fall to 2-3 if they lose, and of course the Vikings fall to 1-3-1.
And if they lose, they give up a game. They're going to be a game behind Washington, which isn't. I mean, I think that both teams will be fine in the long run, but I think that you do want to. I think both these teams are first seed in the whole NFL. Best record in the NFL.
The loser of this game. They get a wild card spot. They don't get the bye. They're the loser of this game is eliminated from the bye week, which of course they both had last year. So it could be It's an important game.
I mean, and for Philadelphia, I mean the thing is that they still get, you know, they still play in a not so great division, but if you're the Vikings, I mean, you're feeling the pressure. Chicago, I don't know if they're going to be able to stay as good as they are, but Chicago's still solid. Green Bay is good, and you don't want to fall behind. So, I think that both these teams don't want to fall behind, and they want to fight for that second seed, because that first seed ain't. They're not able to get it, but yeah, I think both teams are coming off, like I said, big losses. So whoever wins, it'll be a big boost in morale. So yeah, Vikings, Eagles.
So my game of the week, and I'm gonna start this off by saying I don't know if the NFL is thinking putting the Cowboys and Texans in the Sunday night game.
It's disgusting.
That's the Cowboys.
I won't be watching. I'll be watching the Braves. But my game
is a
1 o'clock game. So, I mean, it'll be a good game. It's Jags at the Chiefs. You're looking at one of the best offenses in the NFL, the Chiefs, versus what, in my opinion, is the best defense in the NFL, the Jaguars. You look at Mahomes.
I was just going to say first in yards allowed, first in passing yards allowed, and first in points allowed. The Jacksonville Jaguars with 14 points allowed.
Yeah, exactly. And then, I mean, Mahomes will be facing his toughest defense yet. So it's going to be interesting to see how he responds to playing all the talented players on the Jacksonville defense. And of course, like, you look at, which is a pretty interesting matchup, Tyreek Hill versus Jalen Ramsey. I think that'll be fun to watch. I don't know how much they'll actually go against each other, but when they do, it's going to be a pretty fun matchup to see.
Go ahead, sorry.
Well, I was just going to say this game down the stretch could have some big playoff implications in the long run.
Yeah. I mean, Kansas City's looking like they can be the best team in the AFC. They are the best team in the AFC at the moment, but I mean, first in points scored, so the Chiefs' best team in scoring are going against the team that allows the least amount of points. So, I mean, you're seeing a team of a game of extremes here. But I'm worried because I mean, the Chiefs, the Jacksonville offense isn't elite, but they can put up points.
Yeah, exactly.
What worries me is that Kansas City, I think, will fall behind in this game. This is the first. I think Mahomes had a test, but I think this is his first. This is going to be his first welcome to the league game, in my opinion. Like, and he's played. I mean, like you just corrected me earlier. This is the second season. He's played in what, 5 games? But I think this is. I mean, this game is. This is where we get to see just how good he's going to be.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it'll be interesting. And if he can put up the same numbers he's been putting up against those other teams.
We got to put him in the elite conversation. And it won't be many. I think that I mean, 6 games is a short span. But, I mean, if you face a team like Jacksonville, you face Denver. I mean, Denver at home or Denver away, Jacksonville – if it was Jacksonville at home, it'd even be even better, but you're still facing the best defense in the NFL.
I'm going to hold off on the elite talk until I see him in the playoffs, and that'll really be the determination.
To me, it's just that just played, you know, some teams that haven't been very good on defense. And I mean, to me, I think Jalen Ramsey can handle Tyreek Hill, but at the same time, you could put AJ Bouye on Tyreek Hill and you'll be fine. I mean, we've seen you know, the Jacksonville Jaguars hold an elite tight end before. They double teamed Gronk, didn't allow him to do anything. I mean, so I think that this, you know, what Patrick Mahomes does this game, if he performs well, it'll show a lot, but I just, in my opinion, I don't see him having that great of a game. I think he'll be slowed down this game.
You can finish. You want me to go? Okay. I feel like it needs to be said that the Chiefs always, and they kind of fall apart in the middle of the season. So I think there should be a little bit of. They didn't have Mahomes last year. Alex Smith was really good when they, and they dropped off tremendously and didn't even want to play. So I don't know. I have a little bit of confidence with the Chiefs, especially with that.
See that, and that was my argument, like, and that's been my, like, the thing that I've kind of wanted to talk about when it comes to this Chiefs team. They started off hot last year. This isn't like the first time that Kansas City has a Kansas City quarterback has looked great. This happened last year. Now, Alex Smith isn't as talented as Pat Mahomes. Pat Mahomes is a lot more talented. Nowhere near. But, yeah, I agree with you.
Like, he was impressive for games. I don't have the stats. I can pull him up. Smith was starting off really great, and I believe some people have in the conversation last year.
Yeah. And, I mean, I don't know. I just think that this Kansas, like I said, it would. Okay, so this leads into my question. Would you have a balanced team, a solid offense, and a solid defense, even though this is more of an elite defense? Would you guys prefer to have that or just have an elite defense and an elite offense? I feel like everybody would want balance, right?
And I take balance worries me over is, one side.
And the thing is that Kansas City isn't balanced. Like, this team will give up yards to any quarterback. If your name's not Case Keenum, any competent quarterback, which I'd like to say that Blake Bortles kind of falls under that category. So I'm just worried on that part that if Jacksonville does slow down Kansas City, this is not a defense that you could really come back on, unless you're Tom Brady in the AFC Championship. Wink. But yeah.
So, okay, I was talking about Alex Smith last year and his start. He actually started off throwing 11 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, and there were several games. I think there were 3 games he threw over 300 yards in his first 5 games. So he was off to, I guess, I mean, the start's not as great as Patrick Mahomes, but it was still really a really good start for Alex Smith last year. So I do still think we need to calm down a little bit.
Yeah. And I mean, if I'm correct, so this season, Jacksonville has only allowed 164.2 passing yards, while Kansas City has thrown for 328.5. Or, sorry, that's not the correct stat. 297 passing yards. So, yeah, the 164.2 is Jacksonville's passing yards allowed, and Kansas City has had 297.2 passing yards thrown by Pat Mahomes. So that's his average. They don't – and if I remember correctly, I think it was also Matthew Berry or Field Yates, somebody on the Fantasy Focus podcast from ESPN. Go listen to it. It's a really good podcast. They said that Jacksonville – no, not better. Jacksonville has only allowed 200 yards in, like, the past – or in, like, the – in. I don't remember the span, but they've only allowed over 200 passing yards twice. And, I mean, this defense is – I mean, you have Kareem Hunt, but Kareem Hunt has kind of been kind of iffy this season. So, to me, I just think that this is going to be a rough game for Kansas City. But we'll go into our game predictions next segment. So, yeah, games of the week. I had Minnesota, Philadelphia.
Where's Chiefs and Jags for me?
And Nick?
Then Falcons, Steelers for me.
All right. Guys, time for our last segment of this podcast. Picks can pick them, where we predict the outcomes of this week's games. So let's start off with Thursday Nighter, Patriots, Colts. Who do you guys think is going to win that game?
For me, obviously, it's the Patriots. The spread on the Patriots are favored by 10.5 in this game. I don't know if they cover that, but they definitely win the game. I'm not really concerned about the Patriots losing.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think that the Patriots win this. I don't know if they'll be. I don't know how great they'll be on defense. I think they'll be fine against Andrew. I think that Andrew Luck will have a solid game. But yeah, I think that the Patriots win this game.
Yeah, the Patriots are going to win this game too. I don't really see the Colts being able to put up enough points or defend well enough to stop the Patriots. And T.Y. Hilton's out for this game, so.
Yeah. All right, so we all agree, Patriots.
Yeah. Yep.
All right, so next game up, Falcons-Steelers, Nick's game of the week, the game that we all predict or that we all think will be an important game and a must-win for both teams. Guys – oh, what were you saying?
The Steelers are 3.5-point favorites in this game. They're the home team. So that means
they're basically home field.
These teams is pretty even. They have the Steelers a little better than the Falcons. I think this game's a coin flip game. I'm going to roll with the Steelers just because I mean, they're playing at home, and I know the Falcons are going to be desperate, but their defense can't do anything about it. I think the Steelers are going to be the winner here.
Now, this – I'll give my prediction in a second. So, actually, I'll just wait till we're done all predicting. I'm going to go Steelers too, but I think that the Falcons – and I think it'll be a complete shootout. It'll be a complete mess. Both offensive coordinators – or both defensive coordinators should lose their jobs after this game, and they're going to go under the desk and cry during film session because it'll just be that bad. What was it, a 57.5? The score has the over-under is 57.5. I will take the over on that, and yeah, I think Pittsburgh wins it.
I guess I'm going to be the only one to pick the Falcons to win this game.
Really?
Yep.
So, who do you guys think has the better chance to rebound after this loss?
It's the Steelers, because at least they know they're getting help in the future. Like, maybe Hunt has to come back unless they trade him. The Falcons, they're just – they're screwed.
Well, they get Deion Jones back week 9. But
I think that
what but we're they could see... be. They're probably done by then, though. That's the thing.
We're gonna see one of the league's elite our offensives probably miss
not in this
the playoffs.
Game, we're not the elite defense.
I said off. Sorry, yeah, I messed it up. Well, two of the league's elite offenses, and I think that if the Falcons lose, I think they'll be too far behind to catch up to the Saints or the Panthers. So yeah. Yeah, I think we might see, depending on if the Falcons win or not, I think we could see one of the league's elite offenses miss the playoffs. So I did want to bring up two of the best receivers in the league, top two, you could say, and Antonio Brown and Julio Jones.
Antonio Brown's gonna feast.
Who do you think has the more yards? I mean, Julio's leading the league in yardage right now.
Julio's gonna have more yards, but Antonio's gonna have.
I don't think so. I think Antonio's gonna have more yards. The Falcons' defense isn't gonna stop them. I mean, I guess
Desmond Trufant's a better cover corner than Artie Burns. So,
okay, so look, Julio 29 for 502 this year. I'm trying to find. Looking for Antonio's. I guess Antonio has it. Juju has more yards than Antonio, which is crazy. Yeah. But I'm not gonna look for it. But yeah, so you guys think that Julio will have, or Hayden, you're saying Antonio will have, or we both agree, are you guys both agreeing that he has more yards?
I'd say Julio has more yards.
And of course,
I'd agree with you, but I was gonna say bigger impact. I'd go with Antonio.
Yeah, Antonio will have more impact.
Yeah. All right.
So I think that's it for that game.
We can move on.
Yeah, Titans Bills. Thank you. Bills are only 3-point underdogs in this game. I think that's a little disrespectful to the Titans that they're only favored by 3.5. So
yeah,
I think the Titans run away with this one. So if you're betting the line, you definitely take the Titans on this, and I think it's an easy win for them.
Yeah, I'd take the Titans. I don't know who's taking the Bills on this one, but
so far, I know me and Johan agreed on every game last week, and now we're in agreement on every game so far. So we'll see if that changes.
Hey, I mean, we did well. I did well last season. You got carried.
Okay, I don't know about that, but
okay, next. Matchup of 2-3-1 teams, two division leaders, Dolphins at the Bengals, guys.
Those words have never been spoken about these teams before.
Cincinnati 6.5-point favorites.
I'll take Cincinnati with that.
I will take Cincinnati. I'll take Cincinnati straight and on the line. I think we saw the Patriots slow down the Dolphins last week, dominate performance by one of the best teams in NFL history and the league. By the best team in the NFL, should have been number one on Hayden's power rankings, but I digress because the Panthers are number one. No, the Patriots. I didn't say the Packers.
Yeah,
I'm kidding.
Packers.
Oh, no. Yeah, you're right. Selective
here. We the best.
So, yeah, we all agree. Bengals. All right.
Yep.
Yeah. So Ravens-Browns.
Ravens.
So, Browns are 2.5-point underdogs. I think I don't know.
Yeah, I'm taking the Ravens.
Don't you dare disrespect their defense like that.
Getting back Jimmy
Smith. The Browns dare you. I'm rolling with the Browns.
I think the Ravens are a little overhyped. You're just doing this for attention.
Johan, I'm literally not.
I'm not doing it. I'm just upset. Like 3-point favorites. I mean, you have a rookie quarterback. I'm correct this time. A rookie quarterback in Baker playing one of the league's elite defenses. I do think that the Cleveland Browns defense could. I think that they can hold this offense. But
hey, you know this is a gut feeling type game for me. So I mean. The words
gut feeling and the Browns should never go together. the only game was the Jets game. But yeah, I'm going to go Baltimore. It's an easy choice for me. You can be hedgy and ask for attention and pick the Browns. I'm going to stick with the safe pick and the sure pick.
All right. So with that being said, we can move on to the Broncos at Jets. The Jets are only 0.5-point favorites in this game. Actually, I think they are favorites.
It says that they're a point favorite.
I'll go ahead and take the Broncos.
That defense should handle.
I think we can all agree the Broncos Darnold win this one.
Yeah, but it's gonna be in spite of Case Keenum, Philip Lindsay, and Royce Freeman should do well in this game.
All right,
We all take the Broncos,
we're
right?
We're all in agreement. Yeah, we can move on to Nick's favorite team.
The Detroit Lions.
And I'm going to be edgy just like Hayden. I'm going to take the Lions.
That, I mean, to be honest, as much as I want to piss off and say the Lions are going to win, I'm not going to. I think the Packers win this game. Of course, Nick thinks the Packers win the game, so we didn't have to ask.
Of course they're going to. Well, seeing as how Tom Brady has never beaten Aaron Rodgers and the Lions beat the Patriots, hey, that automatically means the Packers are going to beat the Lions.
Okay. So, sorry, okay, Joe. Okay, guys.
Your picks are going to be wrong.
No,
your
I do
time is up.
I do believe – oh, my gosh. I do believe this will be a close game. But, yeah, I'm going to take Aaron.
This is going to be another scoring fest. These defenses aren't going to stop
Did you
other.
Just say you're going to take Aaron? I thought you were picking the Lions.
I was joking. You really think I'm going to take the Lions over the Packers?
I don't know.
He couldn't argue with my logic. So
yeah, yeah, sure. Yeah, so we're all in agreement, the Packers. On to Hayden's game of the week, Jaguars-Chiefs. The 3-1 Jaguars travel to Arrowhead to play the 4-0 Chiefs in a game that'll be very important in AFC standings.
And the Chiefs are 3.5-point favorites in this game. So once again, they think these teams are pretty even. Just the Chiefs are a little better.
Better for the Chiefs, the Jaguars are going to win this game.
I'm taking the Jaguars on this one. I think that the Jaguars will slow down. I'm not going to say completely stop. I think Pat Mahomes is a good quarterback, so I'm not going to disrespect him like that. But I do think they slow him down. I think that this defense is just elite. I think that the offense struggles, and I think that Blake Bortles will be able to put up solid numbers against a weak defense. So I'm taking the Jaguars.
I'm going the opposite. I'm going Chiefs. I think obviously they don't score as many points that they're used to, but I don't know. I feel like Patrick Mahomes will show up and he'll probably get another game winning drive in him.
Nice. All right, Nick, what about you?
I picked the Jaguars, bud.
Oh, sorry. All right. On to the next game.
So I'll announce it since it's my favorite team. It's the Giants at the Panthers. Panthers are 6.5-point favorites in this game. I'm not really – being a Panthers fan, I'm not concerned about the Giants. I think this will be a pretty easy win. I don't know. I mean, 6.5 points, I guess I would take the Panthers to cover that. But I don't see the Giants as a threat.
Yeah, I'll take Panthers.
Yeah, I'll take the McCaffreys.
Yeah, we're all in agreement there. McCaffreys. Next game up, Raiders-Chargers.
Chargers are 5.5 points.
1-3. The 1-3 Raiders led by, what is it? I think $100 million.
I'm going to be honest, though. We should be a little concerned about the Chargers. They allowed C.J. Beathard to make that game close last week. So.
Yeah, but I still take the
– I'm going to take the Chargers, but I'm going to say the Raiders – win or the Raiders lose by less than 5 points. So I would say the Chargers don't cover there and the Raiders. I think it's gonna be a close game.
So these are two of the this also could be a shootout seeing as these are two of the worst defenses when it comes to allowing points. So but I'll take Phillip Rivers in this matchup. I think that anytime that Amari Cooper has a big game, he's not going to have a big game this week. And I think the Chargers win this one. But it'll be high scoring. Derek Carr will – I think he'll be fine. But, yeah, I'm taking the Chargers.
All right.
On to the next one, Rams-Seahawks. I don't know. The last 2 weeks – I mean, this week for me has just had – a lot of games that aren't hard to pick. I'm taking the Rams. I don't know who's taking the Seahawks.
Yeah, some whack-ass Seattle fans will take Seahawks, but they're going to lose by a lot.
Yeah, this is – Russell Wilson has struggled, and he will continue struggling against this defense, and the Rams will put up big numbers against Seattle. What about you, Hayden? Nope. Okay. Well,
there is no more Hayden.
It looks like Hayden's going to be gone for the rest of the segment, so it'll just be us two. So both of us Rams.
R.I.P. Hayden. He lived a good life.
Both of us take the Rams.
Yep.
All right, Vikings-Eagles. That's my game of the week. Uh, even though they lost, and defensively they're not solid, the Vikings offense, I think, still really impressed me last week. I didn't think that I thought that they'd be okay, but I didn't think that they'd put up the kind of numbers that they did. Kirk Cousins looked great. Stephon Diggs, Thielen looked great. The Eagles offense, it's still good. I mean, Carson Wentz is still there. He still has.
I don't know what to think about the Jeffrey. Eagles at this point.
The
I
return
really
of
don't.
Alshon Jeffrey, I mean, has helped them a lot. And you still have Zach Ertz and Nelson Aguilar, but I'm going to take the Vikings.
Nelson Aguilar's been playing like garbage.
I'm just going to take the Vikings on this one. I think that I don't know if it'll be. I mean, so Minnesota. I mean, Philadelphia's favored by 3 points, but I'm going to take Minnesota on this one.
Yeah, I will take Minnesota as well.
And Hayden has sent in that he takes the. Hayden says that he is taking the Eagles on this one. Hayden, it's a good thing you're not talking because your takes are always trash. that was mean.
Man, this podcast got a lot less biased all of a sudden. I wonder what happened.
Yeah, man. Hey, you also think that the Panthers aren't that great, right?
I don't. I think they're a decent bit overrated. They've benefited from playing some decently easy opponents. Cam hasn't had to deal with much yet. So,
all right, on to the next game, Cardinals 49ers. Finally, a game that's not hard, that's going to be a little challenging to pick that wasn't Vikings-Eagles. Both teams, I mean, you lose Jimmy Garoppolo, it's going to be a big loss, but the 49ers' offense did put up a good amount of points on the Chargers' defense, so they're not completely lost on offense. Hayden says the Cardinals will win.
Also going to pick the Cardinals.
You're going to pick the Cardinals. Josh Rosen did, it seemed like he played well.
Decently.
I mean, and it seemed like from what I saw, it just seemed like the Cardinals seemed a little more energized, but, I don't know. This one's hard for me, man. I want to take either team because I do think that Arizona has they're just such a mess right now. And San Francisco, I mean, they're bad too, but both teams are bad. But you know what? I'm going to go with the 49ers on this one. I think that CJ Beathard will put up solid numbers. And but I do think it'll be, I guess, an entertaining game from the aspect that they're both bad. Sunday night. Ew.
God, what a Sunday night game. I hate the Cowboys.
Texans?
Texans win, baby.
Hayden said Texans win, Cowboys fans go into depression. I mean, yes. Anytime we can see Skip Bayless be miserable, we'll take it. I'm going to take the Texans. I think that Deshaun Watson is going to have a big game, and I think he'll feast on the Cowboys. So, yeah, I'm taking the Texans.
Yep.
Now for the Monday Night Football game, Redskins Saints. Redskins defense has been pretty solid. Hayden just sent in his pick, Redskins with the upset. Let me find this.
Of course he picked that. I wonder what would cause him to pick the Redskins.
Bias.
Yeah.
The Saints coming back. Mark Ingram's back this week. That'll be a lot of help to them. So
he's not gonna get that many touches. They're gonna have to ease him back into the offense, but.
But with a running back like Alvin Kamara, I mean,
yeah, it'll just save Kamara some touches. Be fresh the whole
and
game.
I think that New Orleans wants to rebound from a disappointing performance offensively against the Giants.
Yeah, a lot of field goals.
So they could have a big game.
Not getting the end
zone too much. Washington's last game, upset over the Packers. So it wouldn't be out of possibilities for them to win. New Orleans. I mean, they're fourth in offense, but this is a Redskins defense that is third in yards allowed and yards allowed and third in passing yards. So it could just maybe Mark Ingram come back and have the same kind of role as he did last year. And they just go with the running game. So here's another stat I just wanted to say. Washington has allowed their second in points allowed with 14.7, something I didn't expect to say, But and New Orleans is third in points scored, so this is also going to be one of those games where it's elite offense versus elite defense. Nick, who are you taking?
I'll go ahead. I'll take the Saints. Drew Brees is going to break the passing yardage record.
Yeah. You know, for this game,
bad choice.
I think Alex Smith can have a big game against the the Saints defense.
Good joke. Alex Smith is afraid of big games.
But at the same time, I don't see anybody that can stop Alvin Kamara or Drew Brees the way they've been playing. Yeah, I'm going to take the Saints against Hayden's best against Hayden's wishes. I got to go with the Saints. What's your predicted final score since we have to enter that?
Ooh, final score? Saints 28 or Saints 31, Redskins 17.
Hayden says 27-26. I'm going to go Saints, I think 24, and I'm going to go Redskins. I'll go 17. So I think the Saints will win 24-17. So yeah, thank you guys to all those who listened to this week's podcast. It's a long one, but thank you for listening to us. And we just hope that you enjoy all the games this week, watch all the football you can, and go Patriots.
Happy Hanukkah.